Today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the great solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And this particular feast day has very old roots in Holy Mother Church, and it goes back to the year 1263 when there is a priest. He was on pilgrimage from one of the places in Europe. He was on pilgrimage to Rome, and he was returning to his home country, and he was celebrating a Mass in Orvieto. And during the Mass, at the moment of consecration, the moment in which the bread becomes the body of our Lord and the wine becomes the precious blood of our Lord, the priest doubted. The priest doubted what was happening. He did not believe that this transubstantiation was really taking place. And as he elevated the host above the altar, which had become the body of Christ, the host began to bleed. And the priest saw this, and the people saw this. And the priest immediately repented of his doubt. Well, it didn't take long for a word to get to the bishop. And word actually got to the Holy Father, the Pope, as well. And there was an investigation done, and eventually, within a very short time after this Eucharistic miracle, after the drops of our Lord's blood flowed from that host down onto the altar, onto the corporal, that white square piece of cloth which covers the altar, not soon after that happened, the Pope declared the Feast of Corpus Christi. And the Church has been celebrating this great feast day ever since. And today, if you go to Italy and you're in Rome, and if you have an extra day, get on the train. It takes an hour and a half for you to get to Orvieto. It's a very beautiful city which is built on this plateau, this very high bluff. And there's some very interesting things to see there. There's a lot of Etruscan ruins. But also, if you go to the cathedral in Orvieto, and if you go to one of the side chapels, they may just have the doors of this chapel open so you can go in and see, hanging on the wall, the blood-stained corporal from this Eucharistic miracle over 700 years ago. I've seen it. It's incredibly powerful to think about that. And there have been many Eucharistic miracles which took place before that. And there's been many Eucharistic miracles even in modern ages since then. And people like these, I personally don't want this to happen at Mass where I'm celebrating, for a couple reasons. First of all, if you look at when Eucharistic miracles happen, more often than not, the priest is doing something wrong, or the people are doing something wrong. There's a lack of belief or something. They're doing something during the Mass or during the other liturgies which they should not be doing. And personally, I don't want to have proof to believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's not faith anymore. We don't call this the Catholic proof. We call this the Catholic faith. We don't need scientific proof, although there's some very interesting science behind some of these Eucharistic miracles. But we don't need scientific proof to believe this. It's faith. Faith, which is a gift to us. Plus, I don't want the bishop involved, you know, I kind of want to lay down low here. But Pondre County, I don't want a lot of questions, lengthy investigations, news media coming. I don't want all that. But the host at this Mass or at any Mass can bleed. It can bleed real blood of the Son of God. It has before, and it will again. Because the Eucharist is the Eucharist. And it's an essential, indispensable, non-compromisable, eternal truth of Holy Mother Church. And if we don't believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist, then really nothing else is going to make sense. Nothing that we say or do in the Catholic Church will make sense if we don't believe that that Christ is truly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist. Because the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith. Everything in our faith flows from the Eucharist. Everything in our faith flows back towards the Eucharist. It is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. It's not just a mere symbol, but instead a mysterious reality. As a priest, so often I've encountered people, they say they've left the church or they no longer practice their faith because they don't get anything out of Mass. I know none of you have ever said that. But maybe you've heard somebody say, well, I just don't get anything out of Mass. But if the person knew who and what they were receiving at Mass, if they knew that they were receiving God Himself, would they leave? I mean, after all, let's face it, if I put it in an advertisement anywhere in the paper, put it on the internet that starting next Sunday, I'm going to give out $50,000 in unmarked bills, cash, to everybody who comes to Mass. Well, the first Sunday, we'll probably have a line to the post office. And the next Sunday, it might be to Deer Park. A lot of people are going to come to get $50,000 in cash, unmarked bills. But at this Mass and at every Mass, the priest is giving the people God. You're receiving God in the Eucharist, beyond comparison, beyond any price. So I don't think that people really understand that, because if they did, we would have a line from here to Deer Park of people waiting to get in to this church to receive Holy Communion. I mean, how can a person receive the body and blood of the Son of God and say, "Why, Father, I didn't really get anything out of Mass today"? Or how can they receive the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and say, "Well, Father, it didn't really do anything for me today"? How can they receive the fulfillment of God's covenant with mankind, the Savior and Redeemer, and say, "Well, Father, Mass is kind of boring today"? How? It's because they don't recognize who and what they're receiving at Holy Mass. Either out of arrogance or out of ignorance, they don't fully understand and comprehend it. There's public opinion polls, which I normally don't trust or follow. But these come up every year saying maybe a half, maybe two-thirds of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. I actually believe this, because if you look at the number of people, number of Catholics who attend Mass in the nation, the majority don't. It's because they don't believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. If you look at many of the problems happening in our nation and our church today, these can be attributed to a lack of faith, a lack of belief that Jesus Christ is truly substantially present in the Eucharist. So, if a person does not believe fully that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, what can that person do? Well, first of all, if it's out of arrogance, if it's out of willful disobedience and just, you know, obstinacy, there's really not much that I can do. You know, I can't give that person a book and say, "Read this and then everything will be okay." You know, if they're willfully obstinate to that teaching, if they've already made up their mind, then they've already made up their mind. Take a miracle from God. But if somebody has genuine doubt, you know, they're not being arrogant about it. They want to believe, but they don't fully. They're sincerely seeking the truth, and that's a different story. There's several things we can do. The first is to acknowledge that belief in the Eucharist or anything else in our Catholic faith, it's a gift of faith. The gift of faith is, it's just that. It's a gift. It's nothing we can earn or receive. You know, I can't, there's no course, there's no college course I can go to, and afterwards, if I get 70% or better on the final exam, I automatically believe that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. You know, I know people who know the Scriptures better than all of us here combined. and they are atheists. And I know several of them. It's not a level of knowledge, but it's faith. And I think God is doing that for a reason. So somebody can't earn salvation through working for it or by studying for it. It's truly a gift from God. Truly. Especially our faith that the Eucharist is the Eucharist. So we have to acknowledge to God that this is not something we can just do on our own, but it's a gift given to us. And we should pray that any obstacles between us acknowledging fully that the Eucharist is the body and blood of our Lord, we should pray and ask God to remove those obstacles. I think there's other things that we can do to remove any roadblocks from us believing. I think one way is by properly preparing for it. The church asks us to fast for an hour before Holy Mass in order to prepare our body and our mind and our soul to receive the Son of God. So that's important. Also, equally important is coming to Mass and preparing to have a proper disposition to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. When I first got here on the first Sunday of October, I was a little shocked that the church here sounded like a very loud restaurant about 30 seconds right before Mass started. And it was very difficult to even hear myself think. And so what happened on the second Sunday, I said, we're going to pray the rosary now. Before every Sunday Mass, we're going to pray the rosary to prepare our hearts to enter into these sacred mysteries. Because let's face it, if we're talking about our golf game or, you know, how our boss is a jerk or whatever it may be, you know, 37 and a half minutes before we receive our Lord, our heart is not going to be prepared for that. And so it's important to come to Mass early and to pray. Even if it's just a few minutes, we come and pray that our heart be prepared. Another way is by acknowledging Jesus in the tabernacle, in the Eucharist, whenever we enter a Catholic church. And the church makes it super easy, right? There's a red vigil candle burning. You go into any Catholic church, you just look for the red vigil candle burning. That reminds you that the presence, the real presence of Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist. And so when you come to this church or any other church, if you can genuflect without having two people to have to help you back up, then genuflect towards the tabernacle. Every knee shall bend, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, straight out of the New Testament. So we genuflect, we bend our knee at the presence of our King and our Lord. I think it's also important to show reverence and respect. I mean, this is God. This is God. A lot of people think that Jesus is their best friend. Well, that's great, but he's also God. He's King of heaven and earth. He's different than our best friend. He's God. And so we show proper reverence and respect for that. I remember at my assignment when I was at Good Shepherd Parish at Fort Wainwright in Alaska. I don't normally use names, but this gentleman will not care. A great man. I've told stories about him before here. And he grew up Pentecostal and just on fire for our Lord. And he would come to Mass with his bride and his sons he was coming for at least a year, year and a half. And I would tease him every once in a while. I'd say, Jason, let's just make this official. You're already more faithful Catholic than many of the Catholics I know. Let's just make you Catholic. You say, Father, I'm just not there yet. I'm not ready. So about a year and a half after he started coming to Mass, one day he came up to me and said, Father, I'm ready. I'm ready to become Catholic. And I said, Jason, why now? He said, Father, I've been watching you very closely during Mass. And I watched the way you purify the vessels after Holy Mass on the altar. And I realized that if the priest is taking such care in doing that, it's something more than just bread and wine. So proper reverence and respect brought somebody into the church. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's not just proper respect and reverence by the priest, but all the laity can teach people something very valuable about what the Eucharist really is. I mean, let's face it, if we don't show proper respect to the reverence to the Eucharist, and people see that, they're not going to believe themselves that we believe it. We've been doing a great job in preparing for the Eucharist before Mass. And I would also encourage you after Mass, you know, to take a few minutes and kneel down if you can. If you can't kneel, just sit down and pray in thanksgiving in quiet for this tremendous gift that you've received. Because let's face it, if somebody gives you a very important gift, chances are you're going to thank them for that later, right? Chances are. Now, that's not always the case. I've given what I thought were important gifts to people in the past, and it seemed like nothing changed, and it was a little disappointing. But you know, when we receive the Holy Communion, when we receive the Lord Jesus, flesh and blood, into us, we should pause at the end of Mass to pray and to thank God for this incredible gift. Because the same Jesus Christ who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, he crucified, was buried, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. That's the same Jesus Christ in the tabernacle right there. The same Jesus Christ will be made physically present on that altar in just a few moments from right now. The same Jesus Christ who you will receive at this Mass. It's important for us to make the Eucharist the center of our life. As a priest, according to canon law, I'm supposed to celebrate Mass on Sunday, at least on Sunday. However, the last two popes, John Paul II and Benedict XVI, have encouraged priests to celebrate Mass every day. Every day. Because if the Eucharist is the center of the faith, and I've dedicated my life to serving our Lord in this faith, this beautiful faith, then the Eucharist has to be the center of my life, and I want to receive that Eucharist every day. And so for the past 14 years, 11 months, and 21 days, I've celebrated Mass every day. Every day. Except for Good Fridays, which we're never, ever, ever allowed under any circumstance to celebrate Mass. Never on Good Friday. But every other day for the past almost 15 years, I've celebrated Mass. Not because I have to canonically, but I have to spiritually. He is the center of my life. When I receive the Eucharist, it reminds me of that. And he nourishes me and he strengthens me in that. And some of these Masses have not been in the most beautiful churches. You know, some of these have been in the back of a moving van when I was moving across the nation. Some of these have been in an airport. You know, some of these have been in helicopter landing zones in Afghanistan. But the Lord was made physically, substantially, truly present in the Eucharist there, wherever it would have been. Now, I'm not saying that all of us here have to go off to seminary or at the convent or monastery to make our Lord the center of your life, but your life will change if you give greater devotion and respect and reverence to the Holy Eucharist. You just try it. For the next Sunday or two, make a concerted effort to prepare your heart and your mind to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. And after Mass, give our Lord a couple minutes of prayer and thanksgiving afterwards. And if you can, during the week, come to adoration here. When you simply sit in front of the Lord in the Eucharist and you open your heart, your ears to him, and ask him to speak to you. It's powerful indeed. So on this feast of Corpus Christi, we thank God for the great gift of the Eucharist, because without it, the world would look very, very different. We thank our Lord for this great gift of the Eucharist. We pray that we'll never, ever take it for granted, but instead we'll prepare sincerely and truly to receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.